And you are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Especially for now, Boudelaire's Point, 66th Street, perhaps 54th Street. Oh, of course, those are in New York. Hey, they're not too far from the Met, are they? Well, do stay tuned to find out what that's about. In the meantime, welcome to everybody. We're so glad you're here listening. Of course, if you're here in Astoria, it's even better because, as you can imagine, it's another fabulous weekend on the Columbia Pacific region on the coast. And this is Arts Live and Local. Carol, your host. It's Friday. Okay, everybody, do stay tuned, because I've got a show for you. Thanks so much for being here. I'm going to start right out with one of my first guests, Angela Mead. Have a listen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is my guest. One of my guests. She's sitting right here. Angela Mead. I was sure that she'd been here before, but apparently, folks, I have three, count them, three KMUN virgins in the room right now. So congratulations to you all. You're now part of the family. See, that's all right. How it works here. Well, that was easy, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Okay, indeed. That was the very short voice of Angela Mead, who is the soprano whom we are welcoming back. How many years have you been coming here?
This is my sixth time in Astoria.
That's fantastic. Has it been six consecutive years? Okay.
The first year was 2010, I believe.
Okay.
I think there was only one year that I didn't do it.
Well, we love it. We love it. And I'm going to ask you that, what keeps bringing you back, but I'll hold on that. I want to introduce my other guests. I have Danielle Orlando. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. And Danielle is the pianist, the acclaimed pianist, although when I started reading her bio, I had to sort of separated out to find the pianist part because she's so busy doing so many things. And that's wonderful. So
we'll
check that out. But now you two have been working together for
10 years?
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
No, longer than 10 years.
Really?
Wow. Well, since I came to AVA in 2005. So
wow.
12 years.
12.
Fantastic. Oh God. Mm-hmm. So that means everything is just knit together beautifully. What is AVA? I heard it mentioned in the room before.
It's the Academy of Vocal Arts in downtown Philadelphia, and it's a four-year post-grad training program for opera singers, totally focused on opera.
And did you go there from the Northwest or from New York?
From USC, down in California, University of Southern California.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And Danielle is from Philadelphia.
Yes.
So you just sort of went over there after school or what? What was your path?
Oh, well,
let me just read this, okay? And then I'm going to come back because Angela is known, I think, more in this area and probably in the opera world. But here's pianist Danielle Orlando, an accompanist to many international opera singers, vocal coach, artistic consultant to musical organizations, accompanist, judge, and artistic coordinator for all of the Luciana Pavarotti International Voice Competitions, worked with Giancarlo Menotti and the festival De Due Mondi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's full of two worlds.
Ah, okay, good. As artistic coordinator and coach for nine seasons, she was the artistic administrator and head of music staff for the Opera Company of Philadelphia and has served on the music staffs of the Metropolitan Opera, Washington National Opera, Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires, Spoleto Festival. Oh, it's not in Italy. It's in Charleston, South Carolina.
Both, yes.
Oh, okay. And Merola Opera Program in San Francisco, Wolf Trap Opera Company, and AIMS in Graz. I have been in Graz, actually.
It's a beautiful place. No?
It is now, wasn't always. And ECOV in Belgium, and Curso de, Perfeccionamiento in
Brava.
Mexico.
Very good. Your Spanish is quite good.
Oh, yeah. It takes a while, though. So do you, since you do not sing opera, do you have to speak all the languages?
She actually speaks more languages than I do.
you actually speak them, not just know words? Is that it?
Well, yes, I love languages, and, you know, music makes it all easier. A lot of my vocabulary comes from operas, so.
Mine too.
Well, I can just imagine you two having a conversation and the people around you are going, what
exactly.
are they talking? What world
right.
are they
all this
in?
Antiquated yeah. Italian.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, first, before we go any further, thank you, caller. What was the piece we just heard, Angela?
The piece is Sicilienne by Meyerbeer.
Giacomo
Meyerbeer.
Giacomo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was from 1845. Mm-hmm. So Yeah. Now, have you performed that in a lot or in many places? That was Angela singing on that cut, by the way, just in case anybody was wondering.
Danielle and I sort of discovered those pieces along with three others, and three other French pieces by Meyerbeer. And we also did some of the German art songs by Meyerbeer. What was that, 2 or 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm. So when you say you discovered it, do you two bring your own program together? Is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we talk and discuss, you know, what would be good for my voice, if she has anything that she wants to play that's, you know, an artistic right. piece on the piano mm-hmm. that she loves.
Although Angela's very intuitive and leads the way on those discussions.
Nice, nice, nice partnership. Very nice partnership. Now, I don't know when you have time, but because you're doing all this other stuff in all these other countries, but
none of us sleep.
You got to make a living. No.
Is that what makes for such a gorgeous voice? Is that how it happens?
Yeah, no sleep, exactly.
Okay, I'm going to go on the no sleep regimen. I'll give it a try. So, for those of you who are tuning in and saying, "What is she talking about?" This Sunday is the gala opening celebration for the Astoria Music Festival in Astoria, Oregon, where we are right now. And what's, I think it looks as from what the paperwork that I got, a rare thing, is that Angela Mead is going to do a recital debut here in Astoria, but it looks as though you don't do a lot of recitals. You do mostly operas or what?
Well, I have a really varied schedule, actually. I do staged opera, concert opera. I do a lot of oratorio and concert work, and then I also do recitals. Recitals are probably the hardest thing to put into a schedule because there are just not a lot of opportunities anymore for recitals.
Wow, so we are very lucky.
I guess so.
I know. We're very excited. And Danielle, have you checked out the piano here?
Not yet. We're doing that tomorrow.
Okay.
But I was going to add to that Angela loves singing recitals, and that always makes it a really fun adventure.
Well, I have to say, in the side of my mouth, Angela is fun.
Thank you.
Well, you're a Pacific Northwest person to begin Yay. With, so you've got credentials. And then some of us are East Coast people.
Right.
It's a little harder. You know? Me too. It's okay. My third guest, by the way, is kind of being quiet because he's doing the a lot of the back work there. That's Kevin Schlossman. Kevin, what is your position with the Astoria Music Festival?
I am their artistic administrator. So, yes, I do a lot of the background things. You won't see me, although I am performing with the festival as well.
Oh, what are you doing? What are you performing?
I'm a percussionist, so I'll be playing all of the orchestra concerts as well.
Oh, nice, nice. Will there be a number of percussionists? Or you?
This is a particularly light year, it seems like, for percussion, except for one piece. Next Sunday, the 18th, we'll be performing Philip Glass's Icarus at the Edge of Time, which is a wonderful multimedia piece. That has quite a lot of percussion on it. Oh, I'm very excited about
great,
that.
Great, great. And have you played it before or did you?
No, I have not.
Oh, this is even more exciting then, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. The piece is very rarely performed. It was commissioned by the World Science Festival a number of years ago. And so far as I can tell, there have only been a handful of performances of it.
The World Science
Festival.
Festival. Hmm. I like that. We need science these days, but we're not going to talk about it.
Amen.
Really. Because, after all, arts and science are all part of the same thing that keeps our world going. And that's why we're here. So I want to let folks know, I already told you what's happening on Sunday. It's 4 p.m. at the Liberty Theater, which is 12th and Commercial. And there are tickets available. You can call the Astoria Music Festival office right now. That's 503-325-9896. Or you can go online. And this is a really good idea because then you can see the whole program, AstoriaMusicFestival.org. Couldn't be simpler. If you're right here in town, you can just head over to the office, 1271 Commercial, and pick up your tickets, pick up a booklet on what's going on and all that kind of stuff. So I I have some raves, Angela. Now, I know you're going to be blushing, but I'm sure you've seen them before. But I, again, being a New Yorker, and Danielle is Philadelphia, but that's pretty close. Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of New York raves here, and we have the most talk, and we also have opera news. So let's go with them first, because
they're also in New York. They're based in New York.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
See, I'm so glad you're here, though, because even though there's an Astoria in New York, we're here in Oregon, in case you just tuned in. Hailed as the most talked about soprano of her generation, and that's a quote from Opera News, American soprano Angela Mead is the winner of both the Metropolitan Opera's 2012 Beverly Sills Artist Award and the 2011 Richard Tucker Award. And also from Opera News, I love this, when we listen to Mead, we begin to know the sound of golden age singing. Mm. That's lovely. It's lovely. Now, from The New Yorker, all right, grew up on that, Mead is astounding. She has exceptional dynamic control. Well, you just heard that, folks. So able to move from floating pianissimos to sudden dramatic swells. The coloratura effects, rapid runs, trills, delicate turns, and so on are handled with uncommon ease. She's a very musical singer, naturally and intelligently writing the phrase. And the last one is from the, I think it's called the Paper of Note or something, the New York Times. They sometimes get things right. This time they did. Shaking the rafters, Angela Mead's voice soared commandingly over the orchestra and chorus, an operatic feat undoubtedly, and a magnificent one. Whoa.
Am I red?
I'm just about to cry. I'm so excited. Okay, you are performing, you're starting off the festival with the recital with Danielle, and then what else are you doing during the festival? This is it.
Yep.
You're giving us your all in one fell swoop.
The recital came about because I normally am able in my schedule to come for the opera, which is usually later in the season,
right.
But this year I'm singing Bellini's Il Pirata at the Caramore Festival and also participating in their opening night gala performance next weekend.
And where is that?
It's in Katona, New York, which is about an hour outside of New York.
Okay.
So I didn't have any time in my schedule to come back for the opera this year. So Keith Clark and I talked, and we decided that a recital was probably the easiest way to go.
I love it. Lucky us, huh? This
Absolutely.
Is so exciting. That's wonderful. What's your preference in terms of all these different, or do you just like the potluck of it all, singing and
It's funny that
different...
you asked that, because when we were rehearsing earlier, the lady that was at Grace Episcopal Church where we were rehearsing asked me the same question.
Oh, really?
And I said, well, you know, I really... There's different aspects of the different genres that I love. I love the grandeur of the staged opera. I love the intimacy of a recital. I love being able to focus solely on the music in oratorio or concert opera engagements. So I really love it all.
Nice. I have a short attention span, so I'm attracted to that kind of... I don't have the voice, though, unfortunately. Minor detail. What keeps you coming back to the Astoria Music Festival? How did you even get to the Astoria Music Festival to begin with?
I'd like to know that, too.
Thank you,
Just
Kevin.
Just was walking by one day, and they were like, hey, you, come in and say... No, I actually, through the Academy of Vocal Arts, one of the pianists there, Luke Hausner, mm-hmm. used to be involved with... both the Astoria Music Festival and also Portland Summer Fest, which Keith Clark runs both of those things. And... Ruth Dobson also used to be in charge of some of the things at Portland Summerfest, and she was friends with Luke Hausner, and they were looking for somebody to sing Leonora in Trovatore, and they asked me to come and do Portland Summerfest, and then after that, they were like, well, why don't you come to Astoria, too? So it became me doing both of them every summer.
Right.
So.
Right. Wow. So we just got lucky to begin with. But now we keep reeling you in. Is that when don't
well,
let you go?
I love to come back to my well, Oregon's not my home state, but my home state. It's like Washington and Oregon are the same place.
Absolutely. In so many ways. Right, you know, it's right across the Columbia River.
I know it
river.
Is. It's the river is the only thing that separates them, right? I can see it from here.
Did we just offend a lot of Washingtonians?
I hope not. I mean, everybody is lovely. I mean, the weather is the same. And it's just, it's a wonderful place to be. So I wanted my family and friends who cannot travel to see me on an airplane or anything, get in a car and be able to come and see me.
Nice.
Get to visit with them. I love coming back here. The weather is great in the summer, even though it's overcast and a little rainy today. It's beautiful.
Well, see, you are a true Northwesterner.
I am.
And I feel the same way, even though I've only been here 43 years, which is probably longer than you've been here.
Yes.
So,
that's true.
On Earth. Yes,
that's
on Earth.
True.
Exactly. Exactly. So, well, it's an absolute delight. The program, and again, did you both arrange this program, decide on this program?
Yeah, we always get together and sort of say, what sort of things do we want to say with this program? So
we go in circles a little. I play devil's advocate sometimes. And well, what if we do that? But what if we don't do that?
But what the words you just said, what do we want to say with this? What does that mean?
Well, I think it depends on the kind of audience that you're going to get at the recital and where it's located and, you know, just what we think that people would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So. Also, Angela's always learning new music, so we try to weave in new pieces.
Along with old pieces, like the Strauss pieces that I'm singing. I've been singing them for now, I think, 10 years or better. So
is this the program? And if so, do you want to buzz through it?
You want me to pronounce them all, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, you can just name the composers. You know.
Okay, so we're starting the program with Handel's Ma Quando Tornerai from his opera Alcina. And part of the reason we put that in there, it's a fun piece. It's a great opener. And I'm also doing Alcina for the first time this fall with Washington National Opera.
Okay.
And it's the first time they're staging that, as I recall, right?
I believe that is correct.
Which is so strange because that's such a great opera.
It is, but it hardly ever gets done. It's too
bad. You need a soprano like you.
School, and I also love Handel. So, and I hardly ever get to sing Handel. So I'm thrilled with the opportunity.
I feel like I should add, I don't mean to interrupt you, that I was able to see some of your rehearsal this morning, just for all the listeners out there. And I got to hear the Handel, and it's lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Those like descending 16th note runs were spot on.
Says the percussionist.
They were perfect.
There you go. Let me just interject. You're going to be able to hear this, what we're talking about right now, this coming Sunday, okay? This Sunday, that is the 11th of June. Happy birthday to my father, who would be 100 and how many years old were he here? And to Anne Goldin. And also, it's at 4 o'clock at the Liberty Theater. There are tickets, and you can get them right now, and I'll tell you, or Kevin will tell you at the end of our interview. So go ahead and let us know what else.
The next bit on the list is where we go into some songs. The first thing was an aria, and then we're going to do Franz Liszt's Enfant si j'étais roi, and his famous Au quand je dors, and then Comment disait-il ends that set. These are also pieces we've done for quite a few years, and I always love coming back to them. I've sung some other Liszt pieces, and the French ones seem to be my favorite. So we're doing that, and then we're going to go into a composer who I love singing and have done a lot of, which is Vincenzo Bellini. We're doing two of his songs, probably his two most famous songs, Vaga Luna and Ma Rendi Pur Contento. And then we're going to go into a Bellini aria, which is something we decided to put on here because I'm actually doing this opera for the first time at the Caramore Festival in 3 weeks.
We are getting world premieres.
You are. Exactly. You are. Absolutely.
This is
brand new arias all around.
I love it.
So that aria is Col Sorriso di Innocenza from Il Pirata. And then there's going to be a little intermission. And then we come back and we're going to do the famous O Patria Mia from Aida, which is going to be a new role for me in a couple of years. And then we're going to do the Richard Strauss set, which includes Stenchen, Alle Seelen, Befreit und Zueignung, probably four of his most famous pieces and most beloved. And then we're going to end the concert with Alfredo Catalani's Ebben ne andrò lontana from La Vallée.
And just listening to her is music, right?
No, oh, you're so sweet.
So when you were growing up, did you study languages? Now, I heard Danielle is into languages. Did you get that opportunity even in?
Not when I was growing up.
It's not a big thing around in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I mean, I have always loved languages. When I was in high school, I took French as mm-hmm. one of my electives. I don't really remember much from it, but I remember loving it at the time, but mm-hmm. I never followed through with it uh-huh. after high school, and then I lost it all. So, and then in college, being a singer, we had to take languages, but I think I never sort of stayed in any of them long enough to sort of become fluent with, you know, two classes a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, unfortunately, fluent in anything but English.
You do pretty well on that. But you sound good. Well, I mean, the accent is so important. There are people who are fluent in a language, mm-hmm. and the accent mm-hmm. is so difficult to listen to. So
yeah.
it does, it can fool a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is the music is going to be gorgeous. And Danielle, do you play in different languages too? Do you find with these... It's different styles when
yes.
you're doing it. Right?
My grandfather didn't speak English. He was an Italian immigrant, so I grew up with a lot of Italian Neapolitan songs and people wandering around the house not speaking English. So
nice.
One thing led to another, and everybody sang. So,
are you the only pianist in your family?
Yes.
And what about you, Angela?
The
are
only,
you the only singer?
Well, my mom was not a professional singer, but she love to sing, and I sort of learned how to sing from her. So,
and did your family encourage you to keep going in the music?
Or? Yes and no.
Yeah,
they do now.
Oh, yes, sure.
But when I was in college, I mean, everybody sort of, are you going to be able to support yourself?
I was going to say, but how are you going to make a living?
Exactly. Are you going to come and live in our basement the rest of your life? So when I started actually getting jobs and I won the Met competition and stuff, right. they sort of were like, okay, we get it.
Okay, now you can come and live in our basement.
Exactly.
please come home. So.
We were laughing about that the other day because my father always said, are you getting paid for that?
I get that question all the time. Right.
Well, yes.
I must say that if you lived in Astoria, you might not. So, you know, because this town, the whole county is held together by volunteers, which is good, but artists need to make a living too, right? Artists like to eat a little bit, you know, once in a while, get some sleep. Well, we are thrilled that you are both here performing. We're happy you're here too, Kevin, and you're going to be playing the drums next week.
Maybe we could get you to come play like the triangle
percussion.
Or something on the recital.
I would love that.
Snare drum.
Well, I mean, do you want to open the handle with some sort of like Baroque style regimental drumming?
I would actually. Could you?
Okay,
I could do that.
That
would be
listen,
fun.
Listen, right here in the KMUN studio, you are hearing something. I don't know if it's real, but I should just tell you that I have my washboard in the car with my
awesome.
Thimbles. I too am a percussionist.
Listen, you give me a set of spoons
there
and
you go.
We're on.
See? Yes, you can play the spoons at the beginning.
I feel like that would fit really well
this
with the theme of your recital.
This is going to be so much fun. Okay, boys and girls, everybody out there, if you are anywhere nearby, come and join us. 4 o'clock, come early, of course, but 4 o'clock at the Liberty Theater, 12th and Commercial in Astoria. And get your tickets at the Astoria Music Festival office, which is just a half a block away from the Liberty, 1271 Commercial. Number is 503-325-9896. Or go online, astoriamusicfestival.org. Come and listen and also meet these wonderful musicians. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
It's
wonderful.
Pleasure.
Wonderful,
thank
wonderful.
You so
I'm
much.
So happy. Kevin, you're sticking around for the whole festival, aren't you?
I am. I will be here the whole time.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see you on Sunday. So
fantastic.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank
great.
You so
thank
much.
You.
My guests, Angela Mead, well-known and exciting Metropolitan Opera superstar. We could talk for hours, actually, because I wonder how she feels about New York, too.
I love New York.
Yeah, good. Of course, I live here.
One of my best friends lives in Brooklyn.
There you go. One of my best friends. We know what that means. Okay, that's wonderful. And Danielle Orlando, who still lives in Philly.
Yes.
And is here as an acclaimed pianist and so much more. You can check them both out. Best of all, come and listen and enjoy. And thanks, Kevin Schlossman, for coming in. We will see you during the festival.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, folks. This has been fantastic. I'm just like gushing here, as you can tell. But meanwhile, I do have some music for you from the fabulous Summer Osborne, because as you all know, I hope by now, June is Pride Month, and Astoria has chosen this weekend for its second annual Pride Festival, and it starts tonight with a gala at the very same place, the Liberty Theater. So have a listen, and stay tuned. My next guests will be coming in soon.
I am here. I am whole as I am. I am safe. Serenade. Nothing can make peace like a song. We've got a ways to go, but then we're closer than we've ever been. So let's walk together on and on. I am here. I am whole as I am. I am safe. Take a photograph of everybody as they laugh. Put it in the book entitled Us. I am here. I am whole as I am. I am safe. A song may seem just like a thought, but it soon will take hold, become a truth that's taught for generations, generations, generations. I am here. I am whole as I am. I am safe. I am loved as I am.
Yes, yes, yes. I am here. I am whole as I am. That's Summer Osborne, and she will be at the Pride. She will be at the Pride block party tomorrow. Yes, good. Right now, I have something else that's going on tomorrow, something that is very dear to my heart and to that of many people in this town, and that is the 14th. Did you guys realize? Well, Randy, you've been around. You haven't been around since the beginning. Actually, the beginning.
Yeah, we have. Yeah.
Well, Richard and Thompson. What was Ben Thompson?
Ben Thompson
did the very first one, and then you've been involved for many, many years. That's Randy McClelland. And Nancy, how long have you been involved?
Probably since about 2010.
2010, when mm-hmm. you decided to stay, you couldn't leave us.
Oh, no.
I remember meeting you in pottery class. And my newest guest, today's the first time I'm meeting, Felina Mincy. Hi, Felina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And Felina is the volunteer coordinator at The Harbor, which is our women's crisis or women's resource center in Astoria. It's our people's resource center. And this event, Randy, do you want to talk about it, or Felina, do you want to talk about the event?
Sure, I can talk about it.
Why don't you tell us?
So The Harbor is really the lone resource in Clatsop County for victims of domestic violence, sexual violence, and stalking. We're 100% victim-centric, and we operate off of donations and grants. And our biggest fundraiser of the year is the Soup Bowl, which is where Dragon Kiln and the Potters come in, and Richard Rowland. And the way the Soup Bowl works is we get these beautiful, one-of-a-kind bowls from our dedicated potters who spend all year making them. And everybody gets to select their bowl that attends the event. They can go and try soups from the area restaurants, which are also generously donated. And there's, you know, other food, a salad, bread, appetizers, desserts. But really the showcase is all about the bowls and the soup that goes in them and the symbolism around that, that really it ties in with our mission at the Harbor.
Okay, now I'm going to flip over to Randy and Nancy, because you started, Felina, with the bowls come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have two of the potters, artists who create those bowls, and I'd like to hear about, because not everybody knows what the Onagama kiln is or the wood fire kiln. And also I think some of them are done in the electric or gas fire?
Stoneware. We call it the stoneware.
Stoneware, yeah. Okay. And then I'd like to hear what they are and why you do it. Nancy Walsh?
Okay. Well, I started out in 2008, Richard's ceramic class up at the college, and I learned how to throw. And Richard was working on going with the bowls creation and talking about community. And I thought, you know, this is something that I can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do it. I throw bowls as many as I can.
You can do not, I'm sensing from how you're kind of a bit emotional here.
Oh, yes.
put it mildly, that it's not just the fact that you learned how to throw bowls.
No. I put as much spirit of myself that I can into these bowls because they are going for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And this community needs help at the Harbor. And I feel that community has given a lot to me and to my family in the past. And this way I can give back.
Nice.
And, you know, Randy is the same way, I'm sure.
He's looking up at the sky. Tell us what motivated you, because you've been doing this for many years.
I like playing with mud.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
I like getting my hands dirty with the mud, and you know I used to joke around and say that clay is clean. You know, so if it ended up on my doorknobs and on my kitchen counters and stuff, it was okay. It was clean. But I like playing in mud. I like with Nancy. You know, we've been doing this, as you mentioned, for many years. There's some there's debate on how many actual years we've been doing this. We think it's more than 14, mm-hmm. actually, but that's mm-hmm. another story. So we've been doing this for many years. We've never, you know, our group of potters that have been doing this, including myself, we've never received a dime mm-hmm. from nobody mm-hmm. In this project. This is all our contributions to the community, which I think makes the bowls bigger. I enjoy the bowl because of its simplicity, but it has a lot of meaning to it. I feel like the bowl is like a metaphor for health, good health. And, you know, you have a bowl that holds a nice warm bowl of soup, hot bowl of soup. It's healing. Mm-hmm. And it's healing both, like, literally, mm-hmm. when you hold it in your hands and whatever. And metaphorically, I think it's very healing, too. It creates opportunities for our community to get stronger, to get better. And the last thing about making bowls for me is... a lot of people don't know this, but we use materials from all over the county. Mm. We call it local materials. And we're out there and we're integrating our environment into these bowls in a very meaningful and thoughtful way. And so when you get these bowls and you hold it in your hand, not only do they have marks from the wood that we use to fire them, but they have local clay from our beaches, from other places in the county. We use obsidian rock, crab shells, and all kinds of nice things like that.
I love that.
It gets us out there, you know.
I love that, the concept, as well as obviously from personal experience, which includes many bowls in my house from practically every year. Everyone is unique. Each one is unique and gorgeous. And you mentioned mud, and I have to say Richard wrote... it's absolutely wonderful to have worked with these dedicated community muddies all these years in the Anagama. And we who know Richard know that the word community is huge in his life. And obviously, Felina, you can feel that energy.
Absolutely.
Through your job and also through this particular fundraiser that the community comes together.
And I am a transplant from the East Coast and have lived in lots of places in a short, in the last 15 years. And this is really the first place that we've lived where the community has been so engaged in meeting the needs of the people who live here. Mm. Everyone has been so generous and so excited about jumping in and supporting the harbor because it's their own. They're supporting their own. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about being part of this community now. And the Soup Bowl is just one of many reasons why Astoria is really unique. It's a unique place, and it's unique. The people here are unique in their generosity.
Well, we're delighted you're here because obviously we're going to be able to benefit by you working at the harbor. Now, here's something we haven't mentioned. Well, first of all, the Soup Bowl is happening tomorrow evening. It's from 5:30 to 9. It's in the red building in the upstairs, the loft.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. However, how do people get their tickets? Because what you need to do is you have a ticket and you go there and you choose one of these bowls. Choose whichever bowl speaks to you, and then you take this bowl. And as Felina said, a lot of the local restaurants have. Given also some human beings, thank you, Howard Clark, my favorite food and in the world, and so it's a wonderful way to come home with a beautiful bowl, delicious food, a beautiful community feeling. How do people get in on this? Is there a phone number they need to call?
We have a few tickets left, okay. Very few. Okay. I know people have been walking into Deja Vu, which is one place where you can purchase the tickets.
Okay.
So you can walk into Deja Vu and purchase a ticket, or you can purchase one online. You can go to the Harbor's website, www.harbornw.org.
Yeah, don't forget the NW, Northwest.
Yes, it will not direct you to the harbor.
And it's the American spelling, not the English spelling, which is why I messed up. So there's H-A-R-B-O-R-N-W dot
org.
org.
And there's a link on the front page of that website that you can click on and go to the event and purchase online via credit card or PayPal. Or if you're having difficulty purchasing and you can't get into Deja Vu, you can always call our office number before we close at 4, and we'll process it over the phone.
And the number is 325.
Oh,
five.
I didn't know there was going to be a test.
Five, I think. Well, it's the same number it's been for 40 years, folks.
Right. And you can call the crisis line and ask for Felina.
Okay.
And she'll put you right through to me.
Okay. This is great. I'll be there. I got my ticket because I know some years it does sell out, and it may be sold out by now.
It might be.
Get on the phone right now or line online, the Harbor, and just harbornw.org, or go by Deja Vu, which is on
14th and Duane. It's a little thrift store there that everything you purchase there, by the way, goes to supporting the Harbor and our mission.
Right.
So, and donations as well.
And you might want to go online just to see more about it. And then say thank you to your local potters who give and give and give. And thank you to Richard, who started this whole thing and gives all the time. This is all about community. We're all in it together, and that's the good part. Thank you so much for coming in. Are you guys going to be able to be there at the Soup Bowl Project?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Richard and I will be giving a very nice presentation tomorrow as well, too.
Great. So. Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Nancy, you'll be there, too.
Oh,
and Feline, I know you'll be there.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for supporting our community.
Okay. Thank
you. Right. Okay, a little bit of music, and then Darren's out there patiently, well, or not, waiting to come in and tell you what he's doing. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio. Oh, yeah. That's Jeremy Wilson. And he is playing at the Adrift tonight. He played last night. He's playing tonight. And if you go to Radio Free America, you can hear him on Albert's program this morning. It was great. Really delightful music. And now my guest, my last guest, is none other than Darren Orange, who is hopefully well known to everybody in this area. And, you know, I started the program with the Astoria Music Festival, and you were quite involved in that a few years ago, too. You did that gorgeous...
Last year.
Was
yeah.
it just last
year? Last year.
Time is upside.
A large format painting
yeah.
on stage. Yeah, nearly to completion in 20 minutes.
That was fantastic. But you also did, some years ago, didn't you do a painting of either a cello or a violin?
It was a violin. It was the red violin.
The red violin with Elizabeth Pitcairn.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I was remembering all these things. But today, Darren is here with a little more conventional, although I would never call Darren particularly conventional. he is opening a show tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is Art Walk here in Astoria, and you can just move through all of the fabulous galleries all over town. This is at Imogen Gallery, which is on 11th Street and Marine Drive. And this is your first solo show at Imogen, is that right?
It is, yes.
That's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward. Now, you have some very large format paintings, and then you've done tiny paintings. So what are we showing What are we showing tomorrow night?
Everything in the apple cart.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So the finished painting from the live session at the Liberty Theater for the Music Fest is finished, and it is there at Imogen.
Okay.
It's 60 by 60 inches.
Oh my
gosh. It's a little bit on the big side. There's a larger one in the back of the gallery that is, I believe, exceeding 6 foot. And then some very small pieces that are 6 by 6 inches.
Right.
And then quite a few pieces in between.
And what are you, tell us, because there are people here who don't live here and who have not seen your work. I'm familiar with your work because I'm one of your biggest fans since before you even moved here.
Yeah, well,
so
thanks.
That's right.
Thanks, Carol.
So tell us. I know it's very powerful. Even your little ones are very powerful.
And I'm coming around to that. I'm trying to play a new game and play small. And it's a difficult transition from the muscle memory of working very large, which the works are very action painting, action oriented, big, whole body moves, if you will, to translate to a 6 by 6 inch panel or canvas. It's a different game, but I think that I've successfully translated the same action to a smaller scale.
Well, so obviously there are differences in many ways. There's even physiological differences in working in those different ways.
There's a lot less room for error on a small canvas. So my work is action painting or intuitive, abstract, expressionistic, non-representational oil painting. And I leave maybe some hints of architecture or some hints of figure or hints of landmarks. But basically just enough to trigger your own response into looking into the piece. The works all do reference where we live, and I'm influenced by the convergence of the Columbia and the Pacific. I think that's infectious, and it gets into our lives, whatever we do, whatever our passion is. So these have those atmospheric hits, if you will.
Good, good. Is there any particular color that are you in? One of your color modes these days? Because you've been in the blues modes and the orange modes.
Sure, right. Well, they're starting to marry. Uh-huh. They're living in the same house. Oh. I guess they would, maybe. And so they're coming together. They're referencing each other. They are, for the most part, kind of monochromatic, but with splashes of secondary colors and so they are becoming more colorful, but I tend to work with a minimal palette and with black and white being primaries, as they really allow for a bigger contrast and a bigger spatial relationship.
But 6 inches by 6 inches.
Yeah, so not a whole lot of pigment on that size, and not a whole lot of room for too much color, in my opinion. So I hold back on the color.
And what about personal discipline?
Tough. Sure. I mean, it's my work is process, so it's putting in the time. I know.
You say that now. One might often assume that doing a big canvas takes so much longer because there's so much more space. On the other hand,
not necessarily true.
Yeah, it's
so
kind
sometimes
of like editing.
Yeah, sometimes the small pieces. Yeah. It is like writing and editing. Mm-hmm. The small pieces can be the most problematic. The large ones, there's more room to play in, to swim around in visually, to get engaged in as the painter into that larger panel. The small ones can be more challenging to provide that in. I work on maybe 20 paintings at a time. Each one is like a chess game, and sometimes you have a move on the board, and sometimes you don't, so you have to move on to the next board and play that board for a while.
I like that. I like that image. Where are you working these days?
I moved to a new studio kind of out in the hinterlands. I'm really excited about it. It's kind of out of the hustle bustle of our small community, it allows me, say, more focused time. I can't walk somewhere to get a coffee.
And people don't drop by.
Yeah. So I
there's nobody right next door.
Right. There's intent to be there, I think.
That's great. Well, you've been painting now for...
Professionally for nearly 20 years.
Okay. And how have you felt yourself moving? Have you felt changes?
Sure. I think this work is a change from works that people may have seen, say, 5 years ago. The works are getting more and more abstract. They're more and more less representational. It's a familiar process for me. I've been doing this for this particular abstract process for 15 to 20 years, but just not showing it nearly as much as my representational works.
What about your use of, what was that, tar or something
Yeah, I'd used a lot of non-traditional materials in the past. It was about what was accessible. And in a community that didn't have an art store some 15 years ago, it was use what you can. And artists work on a shoestring budget anyway. So we creatives use what we have at our disposal. But these days...
we have a fabulous art
store. We do, yeah.
Thank you, Dots and Doodles, for underwriting this show.
Yeah, and so a lot of my my materials come from there. And it is more traditional materials, but less traditional in application. I don't really use brushes anymore these days. Rather, I want the tactile feel of the pigment in my hand.
Oh, wow.
And it also provides more time and focus on the pigment to the relationship with the painting surface and not having to take that extra step in picking up another brush, finding another brush, cleaning a brush.
Interesting.
So it's to be less distracted by that third movement.
But when you say, are you talking about your actual hands?
Yeah.
So what do you do? Just wipe them off on a...
I use gloves. Yeah, or some sort of a scraper applicator that doesn't have much of a handle. So your hand is pretty much in the mix.
Do you like eating with your fingers too?
Well, that's why I wear the gloves. You got to wear safety first.
Well, yes, but I'm thinking it's kind of the same thing for us non-visual artists.
Sure.
The idea of I like eating with my hands. I like the idea rather than a metal tool going into my mouth. Kind of thing.
I think it gets you closer to the medium.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. How about last question? Because I know you've been involved with the ABA. Not the one we were talking about earlier, this program, but how have you seen this community change in the 20 years you've been making art here?
Well, it's always been a creative counterculture community. There is a lot more artists and creative peoples, and it's really exciting to see that blossom. I'm really excited about that.
Great.
Yeah, right. People really putting time into their passion and just going after it.
Yeah.
And
well, you've been a part of helping that to happen, so thank you.
Thanks.
Darren Orange, my guest, he is part of tomorrow evening's Astoria Art Walk, and he is at the Imaging Gallery, which is on 11th and Marine Drive. The Art Walk is from 5 to 8, although Art Loft on 3rd Street, which is right behind and upstairs, sort of, from Dots and Doodles, 3rd and Marine Drive, is from 1 to 4. They're having their Beaver Art Show. But from 5 to 8, we have Imogen. We also have the Old Town Framing is featuring John Wecker, Oil on Polymeric Film. And the River Sea is featuring Jacqueline Hurlburt with paintings and ceramic sculptures, and David Lee Myers with photography called Window Shopping. Lightbox is at 6 o'clock for Plastic Fantastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing your work, Darren.
Thank you. Congratulations on
the new show. That's
I believe
terrific.
Astoria Visual Arts will have two artists in residence in their studios also showing their work.
Great. Okay. So is there a website maybe, ABA's website?
Yes, I believe it's historiavisualarts.org, if okay. I remember right.
Yeah, that should be. And check it out, folks. Just come on downtown, and there will be maps all over the place. Do join us. Let me just review. Thank you, Darren. I'm just going to tell folks a little bit about what's happening. Woo! With some music in the background from Kendra McKinley, who is at the Sou'Wester Saturday night. Also at the Sou'Wester from 11 to 2 is Drawing as Seeing and the Acceptance of Chaos. I like that. Tonight is Pride at the Liberty. Again, go online, libertyastoria.org or LC Lower Columbia Q Center, LCQC, and find out what's going on and come on over to Liberty. And Saturday is 1 to 7 block party and at the Barbie Center on 21st, 22nd, and Sunday is the Pride March. So join in. Tonight also at the Hoffman in Manzanita is a series of 3-1 acts, and they are celebrating Pride as well. And that should be wonderful. Tuesday, by the way, at the Hoffman, Art of Aging. Wednesday, clay class teapots. And Thursday, clay glazing. And the AAMC has a June Contra Dance tonight. And tomorrow night, they have the Pride Dance. And so much going on. Peninsula Pack has the Half-Hearted tomorrow night. And Art Loft, we mentioned Waikiki Beach concerts. And don't forget, Astoria Music Festival, 4 o'clock at the Liberty on Sunday. Thanks for being here, folks. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.